I've got in front of me a book, Mockingbird, A Portrait of Harper Lee from Scout to Go Set a Watchman. It's written by Charles Shields. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
So when did this biography that you put together, Mockingbird, first come out?
Well, it first came out in 2006. Harper Lee hadn't been visible for about 40 years, and I thought I could say the last thing about her life in 2006. But it turned out that the following 10 years were filled with litigation and controversy.
It's amazing that you could write a whole other book about those final years, and you never know with someone's life where the twists and turns and, you know, ultimately the story will come from. What initially drew you to write a biography like this? Obviously, Harper Lee really was an enigma a little bit to most of us. We knew of To Kill a Mockingbird, but that was pretty much it.
Well, when I first started out, I was a teacher in high school, and I taught To Kill a Mockingbird. And kids were really intrigued with the book and also about the author. And at that time, in the 1990s, there was practically nothing known about her. So when I left teaching and started writing full-time, I turned my attention to subjects that I thought would interest people, and she seemed an obvious one. Here was a beloved author. 100,000 kids a year read the novel in high school. Over 40 million copies have been sold, and an easy choice.
So talk about, I guess, the resurgence of Harper Lee with this discovery of a new book, Go Set a Watchman. Tell me about how that came about and how you first became aware of it.
Well, while I was researching the original biography, I came across references to that book in the notes of her agent. Her agent kept a pretty good file of submissions to her office, and there was one by a young Harper Lee who had a manuscript called Go Set a Watchman. And she and her husband, who ran the agency together, worked on the manuscript for a while and then sent it out. And nobody was interested for about 18 months until finally an older woman, Tay Hohoff, an editor, took a chance on it and helped Harper Lee work through three revisions, which became To Kill a Mockingbird. And in the first version of my biography, I said in essence that it was an early draft of To Kill a Mockingbird, and it was set aside. And then lo and behold, after Harper Lee's elder sister Alice died in November of 2014 at age 103, this early manuscript comes to light again, and it was published. So people were a little confused. They thought it was a sequel to Kill a Mockingbird, but in fact, it was the earlier draft of To Kill a Mockingbird set in the 1950s instead of the 1930s.
We're talking this morning with Charles Shields. He has written the book Mockingbird, and with the revised and updated information, obviously since the time you wrote it, Harper Lee has passed. What can you tell us about some of those, the decades since the book was originally put together? What new things did come to light that really made you interested in updating and revising the biography?
Well, she became a little more public herself after 2006. She attended a few college graduations, didn't speak, but accepted awards, and that was a change. Harper Lee dropped out of sight in 1964. She didn't like all the publicity and the attention that was focused on To Kill a Mockingbird. She was never a recluse. She was just somebody who wasn't comfortable with celebrity and being famous. So after she began appearing in various places, I thought, well, that's interesting. And then she became involved in some unfortunate litigation over the copyright to her novel. After her health began to fail and her sister's health began to fail, she signed some things that she shouldn't have signed, and as a result got entangled in some problems over, royalties and trademark and all kinds of things. And except for the happy reception of Go Set a Watchman, the last 10 years of her life were filled with a lot of paperwork.
Charles, do you think her larger-than-life sort of legend grew because she was out of sight for so many years?
You know, that's a good point. It really worked the opposite of the way she thought it would. I mean, you'd think by saying, well, thanks very much, I'm going to go back to being a private citizen now, that would make people lose interest in her. But in fact, because the book was so widely embraced, it made people more fascinated with her. As my students used to say after they read a few chapters of the book, well, Harper Lee, is he still alive? Because they, you know, they wanted to know more about her. So yes, by dropping out of sight, it made her an interesting and mysterious figure.
What did she do for those decades then? What was her life like? What was keeping her busy?
Well, she was not one to join things outside of her immediate circle. I mean, Harper Lee never taught at a writer's workshop or served on a foundation or anything like that. She spent half of her time in New York, and when the weather turned cold, she would go south to Alabama to stay with her sister in her hometown of Monroeville, Alabama. She had a rather privileged life in the sense that once she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, she never really had to work again, and she was able to do pretty much as she pleased, which was be with neighbors, go to church, read a lot, correspond with people. She loved to write letters, and she lived a quiet life as a single lady in the Deep South.
Would the book have lasted as much without a movie? Do those things go hand in hand with each other? Because many people maybe have not read the book but have seen the film. How do you compare those two?
Well, you can't say you've read the book if you've seen the movie. They're a little bit different, and that's because a visual story is different from a written story. But they're similar enough that one feeds into the other. I'm sure tens of thousands of people have picked up the novel as a result of seeing the movie with Gregory Peck. And incidentally, that movie will never be remade. Harper Lee made it clear that her ideal of Atticus Finch was Gregory Peck. So don't look for Brad Pitt or anybody playing the role anytime soon.
Come on. You don't think there's lawyers out there somewhere in the 23rd century that could manipulate what's going on? You never can say never about most anything, I suppose. But that's an interesting thought. I never really realized that. When you've talked to people, as you mentioned, you taught many times related to this book. How do you think your story then adds to her legacy as to maybe getting things out there to let people know more about her?
Well, when I first started reading biographies, when I was in college a long time ago, I wanted to find out how writers wrote books. I wanted to find out, you know, what went into the process, what kind of people could stick to it. And I hope that's what my book has done. It shows the perseverance that's necessary to write a book and the willingness to take direction and criticism. Nobody gets it right the first time any more than a football player runs the play the first time correctly. So my book is meant to show people who are interested in how a work becomes beloved, the nature of the person behind it who created it.
And maybe you don't always set out to create something that's going to be, everlasting. It's more maybe on a personal level of why you're creating it.
But yeah, it's a very good point. Her real motive in writing To Kill a Mockingbird was she meant it as a tribute to her father, who's the model for Atticus Finch. His name was A.C. Lee. She loved him a great deal, recognized that he was a very great man in a small town, and wrote the book as kind of a fictional tribute to the type of person that her father was. She never expected to win the Pulitzer Prize. Who would on their first novel?
Absolutely. The book is called Mockingbird. It's a newly revised biography of Harper Lee by bestselling author Charles Shields. Joins us this morning. Charles, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for the book, too.
Thank you, Bruce. It's been a pleasure.